Please go ahead. The recordings are started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's IRD call on Monday the 16th of May. We have Samad Hussain, Rafik Damak, Avery Doria, Jim Galvin, Jian Kang Yeo. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Steve Sheng, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have apologies noted today from Steve Metallitz. Could I also please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes? Thank you. Over to you, Julie.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And I think since Jim had kicked things off with his message to all of us about a way forward, I'd like to turn to Jim. Could you see? Oh, there, that's good. Thank you. So if that's okay, Jim, perhaps I can turn things over to you at this point.
Yes, thank you, Julie. So, yes, we have had this action outstanding for since our last meeting, which I guess now was pretty much a month ago, about continuing discussions of this path forward. I attempted yesterday to write this down and put it down in some words and send it out. I figure that's probably the best way to get people to really think about it, and rather than having people go back to the transcript. We've had a couple of meetings in which we haven't moved forward. We actually had canceled our last couple of meetings. So now that we have that note out there, and we obviously have quite a number of people on the call here, and I'm very excited and very happy about that. I guess the question to put out there and to open the meeting with is just making sure that I'm going to assume that people have read the note that I sent yesterday, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go back and take a look for that right now. But let me ask if anybody wants to jump in and comment, yes, no, or maybe on the note that I sent out yesterday.
Reading it now, sorry.
That's fine.
Hi, Dave joined.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome, Dave. So, in summary, I mean, just a quick two-minute summary on the note that I sent. You know, the idea was we've been focusing on these four models, and up to this point, the suggestion has been that we would try to pick one of these models and make that a specific recommendation going forward. I think after the last few meetings and that we've had, the last couple of meetings and some other discussions that I've had separately from our meetings, we seem to have a different kind of path emerging, which is rather than choosing a specific model, why don't we highlight the issue or issues that these models are trying to distinguish between and make that our recommendation as that particular issue is something which requires further study. I believe that the four models are primarily trying to distinguish between the execution of translation and transliteration and where that should appear. I think that that's one thing. Second thing is I think that as a group we have done a fair amount of research and study and agreement on the various things that we can do to individual data elements to internationalize them, various standards that exist for, you know, formatting and structuring some elements. And I think that we should continue to include that documentation. So that's a second thing to recommend in the end. And then, of course, the third thing is just to observe that the WHOIS protocol, as defined today, is just not going to be sufficient to meet the needs of the internationalization of data elements. So we have some suggestions for further study, and then some statements about where we are. And I think that represents an appropriate closure point for this working group, which is supposed to look at the display characteristics of registration data. So let me take a step back again and ask if there's anyone who would like to comment on that and, you know, any other details that I might have included in the message that I wrote. Okay, and not hearing anything, this is going to be a really short phone call.
This is Dave. I'm sorry. I was trying to be, you know, polite as staff and waiting to make certain that others had a chance to chime in. I think one of the I think you've covered many of the things that have to be discussed, but I'm not certain that you've covered them in the most straightforward way. When you mention, the four models really come down to who has to perform the transliteration or translation. I think that's correct, but there are other elephants in the room that no one ever talks about, and so we circle around this same issue of, I don't want to do it, you do it. Why should I do it? I'm monolingual, I'm not, and the issue is, is not one of cost. It is, how do we pay for this, because it is in fact going to cost more than it currently costs today to do who is. And so I would suggest that part of the recommendation talk about or encourage the community to talk about ways that improvements can be introduced to who is to support internationalized registration data in a matter where no individual group ends up with an unfunded mandate or an unreasonable burden.
Thank you for that, Dave. I mean, I agree. I guess I wasn't trying to suggest that my head completely covered everything that needed to be done.
And Jim, you're kind of fading out there. I'm not sure we caught the last bit, and then I also hear that Avery has some comments.
Yeah.
Okay, rather than repeat myself, I'll just let Avery jump in. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, first of all, on reading the outline you've got, I think it's, it's definitely a decent way to approach, fair amount of work, but a decent way to approach. On the comment about unfunded mandates, elephants in the room, and unwanted work, I think that if we try to make that a consideration, then obviously it's just status quo, let's, not do anything, because none of this is necessarily funded until we know what the requirements are and what work needs to be done and what recommendations. So while I think that ends up a good topic and it is, sort of one of the ending things, if we get to a point where we've sort of decided that and the policy decisions get made that these things need to be done, then, the search for funding, the mandate, becomes the issue on how we fund it. And perhaps one of the things we need to add is what is the cost of something? And maybe that's what you were getting at and I missed it. So, to deal with that issue, sort of understanding the cost of the work that's being recommended might be a worthwhile element. So that could also be something that resulted from this work that after the recommendations get made, then everybody goes away and figures out what it would cost. But that might be, reversal of cart and horses. Thanks.
Yeah, Avery, can I respond? This is Dave.
Certainly fine with me.
I agree that we have to understand the cost. I guess what I was trying to do is get us off the pendulum where people go, we can't do this, it will cost us too much, our margins are too small, and onto a more constructive dialogue of, as you say, let us define what the cost is, and then let us consider several models that allow us to either share the cost or manners that haven't hitherto been explored or in manners that have been explored and have proven successful in other areas, for example, data escrow.
So this is Jim Galvin. I'll just jump in again here and say thank you to both of you. I think that this is good. So we're adding another item that needs some discussion. I sense, Avery, that there's a part of things that you agree with Dave, but perhaps it's about how we might characterize that, and you expressed some concern about how far we're going to take the unfunded mandate issue. And if I've characterized that correctly, I think I'd like to suggest that we allow for some text to be developed and we focus on, you know, how we can tweak that and reviewing that and then suggesting how we can change that. So does that sound okay to you, Aubrey?
Yeah, in fact, what was just said about, A, figuring out what the costs are, figuring out who would bear the cost in each of the possible ways forward, and then including possible models of funding strikes me as three good points that sort of cover it, and I think that's what I just heard.
Yes. That was Dave. Yes, exactly.
So we don't have to call it an unfunded mandate. We just basically have to say there is work, it has a cost, now how can we fund it?
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't intend that we actually use the phrase unfunded mandate. So.
Right. And I think that was really, when you said it, it occurred to me. But looking at breaking it down into those three parts of cost, who bears it, how do we fund it, is excellent, you know, way of dealing with it.
Okay, good. So I'm glad we got agreement on that point. Is there anyone else who would like to add another point, either comment on what's been put out there or perhaps suggest something else that needs to be included in the final report?
This is Bob Hutchinson. I very much agree with the approach that you're generally adopting here. When you get to the recommendations, Jim, I think that we probably are going to need to wordsmith the recommendations to clearer reflect what I think the sentiment of the group is, which really is we can't move forward with defining what we're going to display without a policy that defines what it is. Who is trying to accomplish in an internationalized sense. In other words, somebody's going to have to pick between the four models or some variant of the four models. And your first recommendation that says seek a plan to define registration data, who collects it, who stores it, and who is responsible for it, and specify its purpose, I think that sort of addresses that, but I don't necessarily think I would word it in that way.
This is Jim Galvin, so thank you, Bob. I'm comfortable with that. I understand. I don't claim to have, completely characterized the right thing. So if we at least have an agreement in principle, then, we'll see how the actual words come out, and I would welcome your comments and review on the details as they come forward.
I guess the other thing that I am struck by this process is instead of having a group define a new who is or make recommendation as a whole for an internationalized version of who is, kind of soup to nuts, maybe that was tried and they've tried it several times and it was the elephant was too large to digest, so they decided to break it up into pieces. I don't really understand. But, I mean, to me, this is trying to define a system by, define an airplane by having different people design the wings, the motors, or the engines, and the fuselage and tail section, and then bring them all together and hope that you have something that flies, okay? It's just, to me, there's the way we're going about doing this who is definition is not going to fly.
So this is Jim again. Thank you for that, Bob. I guess that to me, I think I agree with you in principle. I think I've been struggling all along once we started defining these four models with, whether or not that was the right thing to do, and more importantly, how we were going to choose one of them. The path that I've taken is really about going back and looking at the charter, and we were supposed to talk about display specifications, the display of registration data. And Maybe I've gone a little too far on the other side in suggesting that the scope is more narrow than what you're suggesting. I mean, I hear you saying that we really should be looking at the system, and rather than making a recommendation that, you know, the existing WHOIS protocol should be replaced, we should explore that a little bit. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, there is another whole group apparently that's working on trying to pick a protocol, which we could divide this system up as though we were doing a systems analysis, a kind of bottoms up systems analysis, but nobody in their right mind would do a build of a system without the proper understanding of the policies that the system was to try to implement, okay? And that's what we've been struggling with, okay? The meta level that says, okay, we have internationalized data, but how are the actors in the system expected to process it, and what processing is the system expected to do? That's the struggle of the models, okay? And really, somebody needs to look at that at a global sense and make a recommendation. That's one of the global problems that we're having. I suspect when you look at the protocol and, you know, the other pieces of this system, the storage, who is storage requirements and so on and so forth, none of which we are considering, you wind up with similar kinds of policy questions, if you will. So, the first thing would have been, if you're going to do a systems, you would write down, here are the systems requirements, and here are the kind of ground rules by which the system has to operate. And the questions that we've been struggling with would have been answered in that phase. Okay.
This is Aubrey. Can I comment on that?
Sure.
Yes, please, Aubrey, go ahead.
One of the things, and it's a really good point, one of the things when you said another group is working on the protocol, I guess you're all familiar, maybe you're not, with the reports the staff came out with for the GNSO. I think it's last year that the GNSO is finally just getting to work on, and they came to Chuck and I asking for recommendations of how to proceed on the whole issue of WHOIS services and what might be the requirements for future WHOIS services that would lay the groundwork that would allow people then to start discussing in a reasonable way what policies they wanted, whether it was privacy policies, display policies, access to law enforcement policies, what have you. So now one part of that report had the international display requirements that sort of, I think, was part of what pushed off this group, though there were probably other motivations. Coincidentally, the GNSO is, as I understand from their current agenda, actually going to be discussing some of that this week, because at their last meeting, I basically gave them my recommendation was that they, A, seriously reread the staff report on WHOIS technical requirements, because I thought the staff did a really superb job in bringing together a discussion of all the possible things that one might want to care about. And, the document, some people had been a little bristly about the document because they thought it was a little too normative, too prescriptive of what should happen, whereas it was really more of a, and if you want to do this, then you got to do that, and if you want to do this, then you got to do that kind of document, which is, as I said, it was really quite a good document. So I think the GNSO now is going to start an effort to start going through those things, perhaps do a survey of some sort to see what's important to the various constituencies, stakeholder groups, people in the community, etc., and what's less important, and start trying to get a handle on what would be required in protocols / services, and I really prefer to talk about services and protocols going forward. And one of the things that I brought up in the thing at the last GNSO meeting when they had me there as a guest was you know, they got to make sure it coordinates with this group. So I guess one of the things is this group's got to make sure it coordinates with that, and perhaps, you know, it would be good for, you know, James or someone else to get plugged into that drafting team that the CNSO is going to have to make sure that things do coordinate. And, of course, you know, Julie and Steve and everyone else from the staff perspective can pay attention to it, too. So I really just wanted to say, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But in fact, now's a good time to look at that coordination. I'm glad you brought it up because I might have slept through remembering to bring this up. Thanks.
This is Jim Galvin. So I guess the question I have at the moment, I agree in principle with everything Bob and Avery have said. What I'm trying to understand, Bob, is the action that you're proposing at the moment. I think you're expanding on text that you think needs to be included as part of the recommendations and integrated in there to sort of better explain some of the parts of what's going on. Or, I mean, if not, then I guess I'm not quite understanding the addition that you're suggesting needs to be made to the document. So I just want to be clear on that point. My second comment is about the action of coordinating with another group. And so let me say, yes, we should, you know, absolutely look into coordination. And let me reach out to Julie here to see if she could help to facilitate that.
Yeah, actually, this is Julie. I think I would like to defer to Steve Shang because he is actually following and involved in a lot of that work. Steve, is there anything that you wanted to add with respect to the status of some of the, you know, the work that's happening now in the GNSO Council on who is?
Excuse me for just a second. I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Scott Austin. I'm getting in a little late. I have a family medical emergency, and I'm just calling in now. I wanted to let you know I was on the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Scott. We really appreciate it. Steve, anything you'd like to add?
Not.
I'm sorry. What was that?
No, I'm sorry. That was directed at Steve Shang.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
When the staff wrote the report, I'm one of the staff that wrote the report for the service requirements. And when we will look at the internationalized registration data, we say we will wait for this group to come up something, and then we incorporate that into the report. So I guess, you know, part of the IRD working group's final recommendations could be incorporated directly into the service requirement report. I don't know the timeline when the GNSO is going to do a survey. It seems for Avery that we're going to do a survey. So I don't know the timeline for that survey and whether the IRD group has enough time to put its recommendations for staff to incorporate into that survey. So that's what I have.
Okay, thank you, Steve. So let me come back around and go back to Bob and ask him, you know, if my characterization of what he's been saying was accurate, or if he wanted to add to that or change it.
I think it's somewhat pretty accurate. I do thank Avery for filling us in on some of the larger picture stuff that is going on. I believe that Avery, maybe you could comment as to whether this group should suspend its operation and wait for a recommendation from the other groups as to the policy of what the data that is being stored should reflect on a registration, or whether this group essentially says we've mined as far as we can go, and you know, we can't come to any conclusion, which is sort of what is being spoken up here by Jim. And you know, I guess I'm not aware of the time requirements and, you know, how the GNSO thinks that this is supposed to come to a conclusion. Maybe Aubrey could also comment on that.
Aubrey. First of all, no, I would not recommend that anybody suspend doing anything based upon waiting for the GNSO in its current configuration completes anything before moving on. I definitely recommend coordinating with them, making sure that Jim and staff members that are related are paying attention to both, but certainly not suspending. On the who is within the GNSO, you'll find people that want to hurry up and get it done, and you'll find people that want to slow down and let it linger. And given the bicameral nature of the GNSO taking forever, is really the operational norm. So I think you have to coordinate, certainly. And I think that proceeding in the work the way Jim has outlined, we may find that some of them really rely on more information about how the data is structured inside, what the services look like in general, et cetera, and those should be flagged and perhaps fed across. I mean, this is a joint group. So as a joint group, perhaps a more active bit of feedback, you know, with the GNSO while it's going on, we're working on this and we ran into this problem, and feed that into their consideration. There's a slot in every GNSO meeting, whether it's every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, for either a staff member or a team member to report on what's going on in the various groups that the GNSO is involved in, whether it's their own or you know, cross-community ones. So I think what I'm recommending is active cooperation and active reporting, but not stopping, continuing to go through, looking at some of the pricing problems, looking at some of that other stuff, flagging wherever the issue has a dependency. Because at the moment, we know that there are general cross dependencies, but I don't even think we know from, you know, going back to the years I spent as a software system analyst of how do we design this thing. I don't even think we know where all the cross dependencies are. So if we get to working down through a model and say, aha, this one has a dependency on A, B, C, D, document it and move on, and just start combing our way through the knots as we try to figure out how to get this done. I think the policy comes later. I think at the moment we're still working, if I understand correctly, in both this part of the GNSO work and in our work on technology capability, technology enabling policy, and truly understanding that if we take choice A, we enable the following policies, may limit the following, and therefore understanding our technological options based on policy potential, based on policy enabling, based on policy constraint. And it's a hard knot to untangle. And so I've repeated it. I don't recommend stopping. I recommend understanding our dependencies and closer cooperation. Thanks.
Jim, this is Julie, if I could add to what Aubrey just said.
Please, Julie, go ahead.
Just wanted to make a note that that we have been providing regular updates to the GNSO Council. We have been updating the Council at each ICANN meeting, and we are scheduled to provide another update to the Council on either Saturday or Sunday in Singapore, and we will also have a public session on Thursday in Singapore as well to provide an update to the public on our work.
This is obvious. I can add, I think those are great, but the kind of I was talking about are the smaller, more immediate of, you know, we have meetings every 2 weeks, they have meetings every 4 weeks, just keeping that closer coordination as opposed to the every 3 months. But, yeah, I think that the bigger ones are necessary and good, and the slide packs and all that stuff.
So thank you, Julie and Avery, and I understand what you're suggesting and asking for, Avery. So let me just suggest back to Julie in particular that we coordinate offline to see about our next opportunity. Actually, let me take that back. I was going to suggest something different. We can certainly continue our discussion here, but. On the document itself, but I was going to say that towards the end of this call, I think the action is going to be to, redraft the document in the form which I've kind of put out there, and let's just start to do that and move that along. And once we have something, any kind of draft, we use that as a motivation to find our next opportunity to spread it around and reach out to the GNSO and make an explicit point of giving them a heads up as to this is where we're currently headed, in part because we are making a shift from what the interim report looked like, so it feels like we should give a greater heads up sooner about what we're doing. And if we can do that before Singapore, that would be great. So would that meet what you're suggesting, Aubrey?
I think so.
Okay. So, good. Then let me just again, this is Jim again, so just put out there an open comment, open call for any other comments or questions on what I've proposed. And include in that the staff. I guess, Steve, I think you're the person who has the pen for this document. Are you comfortable that you know how to proceed at this point if no one else wants to jump in at the moment with a specific comment?
Hi, this is Hamad. I'd like to go ahead.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I have a comment and then a question. The comment actually is that one of the things which I had proposed earlier was the possibility of actually just having a monolingual registration data and having language information, and then let the registration data be there, and the ASCII part or LDH part can be brought in by people outside who are using the data. So that possibility, I'm not sure whether that is still going to be reflected in the summary or not. That is one possibility which is still out there. The question which I have is that I actually am not quite sure what you mean by the interim solution, which is 4 part C. So if you could maybe explain that a little bit more.
Certainly. Thank you for that, Sarmad. My comment about, to speak to your first comment about monolingualism, it was my intention that the issue that you're bringing up be covered in that section on monolingualism. So we'll have to watch as that text develops to make sure that your comment and proposal is covered there. With respect to my suggestion about including the standards, which I think is what you're referring to, an interim solution, I think the issue is what I was specifically getting at there was separating that part of the registration system which is internal to registrars and registries and ICANN, if you will, versus that part of the system which is the directory service part currently represented by the WHOIS protocol. I think upon reflection that the internal part of the system really is ready for the most part, not 100% of course, but for the most part is ready for internationalization. To the extent that things are XML-based, you have an opportunity to tag the script that's in use, and thus all of the standards that we will talk about in earlier section about what you can do to normalize and internationalize the individual data elements, what we could recommend is that parties to the internal part of the system, specifically registries, registrars, and ICANN, should make sure that their systems are capable of dealing with all of that and perhaps migrate to that if they're not. And that's why there's a separate recommendation to address the WHOIS protocol issue. So I really was just trying to separate those two things.
Yes, but a follow-up comment on that is that so actually I think it would probably become more clear once the previous section gets a little more explicit, but I'm not sure exactly what we are recommending. So what are the international standards you are referring to, and and the other thing is that in the earlier part of the document, we are suggesting that we really do not know how to go forward. So how this particular interim solution sort of fits into that kind of argumentation.
Okay. So I think what I heard you say is we'll wait and see how the text develops and then reconsider this question. I understand completely your desire to make sure that we say the right thing and something, of course, which is implementable. I'm not sure at the moment that I know how to say things any differently. So if we're not quite in agreement yet, then let's just bookmark that and revisit it when we've got some broader text to look at.
Yes, sure.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else have anything else that they want to add or comment on? And then, if not, I'll move to Steve Shang just to give him a heads up. But let me first ask if there's anyone else on the call who wants to add a comment.
So, can you clarify for us where you think this document would? So the GNSO, I assume, will get a copy of this document, and then this working group's work is done, it's complete? Is that the gist of this recommendation?
Yes, this is Jim. And can I ask again who is speaking, please?
This is Bob Hutchinson.
Ah, Bob, thank you. Yes, that's my plan. That's my suggestion.
Jim, this is Julie. I should add that once this report is published, it will also have to be published for public comment, the group will need to consider any comments that that are received.
Thank you for that, Julie. So more precisely, Bob, a more complete answer would be that, there's obviously bits of process here that have to be followed. And as Julie says, once we think we're done, we still have to allow some opportunity for people to comment and to receive those comments and act on them. So we're not going to stop dead in our tracks, so to speak, when we publish. But the intent is that this document would be the conclusion of our major work item. And then whatever process goes with finalizing that is when we will disband. Okay, thank you again. And one last time, any other questions or comments from anyone? And hearing nothing, let me reach out to Steve Shang and ask Steve in particular. First, let me confirm, Steve, that you're the one with the pen on this document, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so my question to you is, are you comfortable at this point that you can prepare a revised document for us in time for our next ordinary teleconference?
In time for our next teleconference? You mean 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Julie. Actually, I think that we will not be able to have our teleconference in 2 weeks. I would remind folks that that is Memorial Day, which is a U.S. holiday, and the ICANN offices are closed. So I think that our next regular meeting would fall on the following Monday, which is the 6th of June.
So, Julie, let me ask, what effect does this have on what we could do in Singapore with respect to, I guess we don't actually have to look for final publication at that point,
but
we can just continue to move forward if we have a...
I wouldn't recommend that, actually, because, for one thing, the document deadline for Singapore, I think, is fast approaching. I forget what it is, but I think it's like end of May, so it might be in like a week or so. And then, you know, and that's for the public to consider, you know, final documents. That does not mean, however, that we cannot report on the work that this group is doing. So we could prepare a few slides to say, you know, this is, you know, we're in the process of drafting a document. These are the issues we're considering and so on. But I think that, given that this is a final report, I think we really want to make sure it gets fully vetted within this group, and that there's plenty of time for comments from this group, you know, before we put it out for public comment.
So thank you for that. Yes. Okay. So we'll continue just to progress this document as best we can, and we can certainly report on our status come Singapore. So we don't have to have an artificial deadline of trying to be done in time for Singapore. So I'm in agreement with that. Let me ask the following question. Would folks be interested in trying to meet in 2 weeks and maybe trying to find another time to meet, or should we actually wait for 4 weeks? So let me phrase the question in the following way. Do folks want to try and meet in a two-week time frame? So we'll have to execute something to find a time, a doodle or something. Do folks want to meet in two weeks?
This is Julie. I would really counsel against that, since it's very hard to find a time. You know, we've got a regularly scheduled time. I would just say that also, I don't want to speak for Steve, but this is a fairly comprehensive document, and if we actually want to have a draft for the group look at, Steve and myself and Dave, because we'll work with Steve on this, may need the time to prepare that draft. But, Steve, I don't want to speak for you.
No, I agree with you. I think 2 weeks is I can't do this in 2 weeks and have a good quality document. So I would say like in a month's time. What the staff can do is, based on this outline that Jim produced, provide a more detailed outline. And then so in the process of doing that, we could identify problems, and then, you know, the working group can come and discuss and nail down the specific points before we start writing the text. So my answer is 2 weeks is too short for a full document. What we can do in 2 weeks is produce something that is more detailed based on Jim's outline, and the working group can deliberate.
Okay, Steve, that sounds good. So the plan, as I hear it, is that staff will produce a more detailed outline, perhaps... maybe you could at least pull in and repurpose some of the text that we already have into the document, too, so it's a little bit more than just a detailed outline. And we'll get that in time so that we can this group can meet in 4 weeks and meet at our regularly scheduled time and have an opportunity to review and discuss where we are. Is that true, Steve?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Anyone?
Sorry, is that the June 6th date? Is that going to be the call on June 6th?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that would be 3 weeks away, Jim, so that's a good question.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Do we want to do a call in 3 weeks or skip the call that is in 2 weeks and do 4 weeks, which would be the 13th of June?
I would suggest we just keep it on the regular time window, so we'll move to the 13th. Next call will be the 13th, but I guess ideally it would be good if the staff could, you know, produce what they're going to produce in approximately the three-week time frame so that we have at least a little bit of time to see a document and think about it before our June 13th meeting. And I apologize for not having checked the calendar.
I got a question, Ms. Aubrey.
Please, Aubrey, go ahead.
How do these two dates relate to any necessary date for the Singapore meeting that is the week after the 13th? And such, or do we care? I just went to my calendar and saw, yes, 16th is when I leave. 15th is when I leave for Singapore. So obviously the 13th is a kind of a last-minute meeting. I assume staff will either already be in Singapore or wending their way there, because they're always there a week before the meeting, or at least many of them are. So I just wanted to look at the date from that perspective, or wanted to mention that perhaps you wanted to look at the date from that perspective.
Yeah, and Aubrey, this is Julie. I can note that that both Steve and I, and I think Dave as well, will all be here still locally and not in Singapore on the 13th of June. And we're not actually tying, as Jim noted too before, we're not actually tying the, you know, sort of the draft publication of this document to anything in Singapore, since it's really still at a stage of just discussion, you know, among this work group. We can, I think, still report on the work of the group, but we're not asking for the community to comment on that work, which would really back us up to a much earlier date of, I think, probably in a week or so, if not less, to have a full document published and ready for community review by Singapore, which really isn't realistic.
Okay, never mind.
No, that's okay. It's a good question, Aubrey. I'm not, you know, that these are all things that have been going through my mind as well, so thank you.
Okay. Then I think we have a plan. And unless there's any other comments, I'm going to suggest that we adjourn. Anyone have any other business they want to bring to the floor? Then, Julie, let me turn the meeting back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, everyone. And as Jim noted, our next call will be on 13 June at our regularly scheduled time, and we'll be sending out a notice for that. And I will send some notes around to all of you shortly from this meeting. And, you know, please let me know if you see any changes on those notes. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. And good afternoon and good evening.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. And thanks to everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Please hold on.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tim.